everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing our program. We keep him on the other side of the glass. No, we do. We have to do that because, of course, sound issues. Tom, I can't believe it. You know, we talked yesterday on the show that we had one day freeze coming up next week. Now the Weather Service says, cover the plants. Looks like for two nights at least next week.
Tuesday night?
Yeah.
Well, actually, Tuesday morning, they're predicting
morning
a frost,
kind of a
and then a more widespread frost yes. Tuesday night on into Wednesday morning.
Yep, so we'll be getting all the frost cloths ready for this upcoming week. And by the way, if you folks need any of those things, our wonderful sponsor, Green Things, has plenty of them at their facility, Green Things, over on River. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday. It's the 9th of December, 2022. Christmas Eve quickly I can't believe it. Couple of weeks from today, we've got Christmas Eve. Anyway, the Buckmaster Show on 1030 KVOI will be beginning lucky year 13 for the Buckmaster Show, closing out 12 full years at the end of this year. Then we'll launch into my 35th year. Chief Ryan with me in studio. Chief, I can't believe where the time's gone.
I'm with you.
35 years on TV and radio here in Tucson. But when you think back, when I think back to how it kind of all started as an intern, at a radio station in Chicago in the late 60s. We're talking like over 50 years in the business.
That's a good run.
But I don't feel like, you know, I don't feel like it could be 50. So I guess that's a good thing too, right, Chief?
That's it, exactly.
Yeah, Chief Chuck Ryan with us in studio. Chief, I'll be with you in 1 second, but I want to tell everybody about our media partners. We're very pleased to have our friends at TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News and the Sahorita Sun, Dan Shearer, editor over there at those two great publications. He'll be with us later in the program talking about the political developments about Senator Sinema and the like. Tucson Local Media supports us. Their portfolio publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview with me in studio, we welcome back to the show Tucson Fire Chief Chuck Ryan, who has already been on the job 3 years. And I remember Chief Ryan's first visit to the show. He had pretty much just started. It was like getting into the pandemic was happening. But boy, how time flies, Chief.
Oh, my gosh. It's gone by in the blink of an eye.
It has. But let's look at what you've accomplished, actually, in those 3 years. Kind of bring us up to date, and it's been a few months since you've with us, about fire stations. I know there's been quite a few upgrades and really building out a new station.
Yeah. So in this calendar year, thanks to the voters of Tucson who passed Proposition 101 back in 2017, that half-cent sales tax for public safety, we were able to rebuild two stations here within the city, not new facilities, not additional facilities. Mm-hmm. Fire Station 9, which is on Wilmot, just sort of north of 22nd. Beautiful, beautiful modern firehouse. That was early summer of this year. And then just a few weeks ago, we opened new Fire Station 8, which moved from King and Oracle over to a better location at Grant and Flowing Wells approximately. And so another beautiful, beautiful facility, modern fire stations with all the right amenities for our employees.
Because we were kind of top heavy in the 1950s.
Yeah.
You know, I know modernism is very big with especially the millennials. They love 1950s stuff. But when it comes to a fire station, you got to upgrade.
Yeah, over time, you know, and that's part of the mission that we went into this with when we were working. When I first got here to Tucson, we were still in the design and planning phase for Fire Station 9. And the architectural team, design team, was at Fire Central. And it was one of the first meetings I had as fire chief. And I said, look, I need you to design us a fire station that's, one, going to last the city for 40 to 50 years and have the form, fit, and function to suit our firefighters and paramedics. The structures that were built in the 50s and early 60s, they just don't cut it anymore. And that was a time, too, when the apparatus, the fire trucks, were much smaller.
Oh, yeah.
The city was less populated. You know, there's been so many changes over time to Tucson. And so these new fire stations and the next three we're going to build represent truly state of the art.
I'm sure that's a whole line of business within your industry about fire station designs. The amenities have, you know, look back kind of the 50s bare-bone fire station. Then you look at what you've brought in with this modernization. Talk a little bit about the amenities that the new station has.
Yeah, sure. So as things have changed over time, crew sizes have changed, right? So back in the day, firefighters would respond sometimes only two on a truck. Mm. Well, now we're in an era where there are four people on every fire truck, two on every ambulance, and so the crew sizes have gotten bigger. The demographics of the fire service have changed, right? It's no longer 100% male. That started to shift in the late 1970s. So our new fire stations have all gender-neutral dormitory rooms, gender-neutral bathrooms, so that women are welcome in the workplace as well. And so those sorts of things. Other amenities, again, the structures built in the 50s and 60s, great for their time, almost like residential structures. So they had residential quality appliances, things like that.
Yeah.
Fire stations are occupied 24/7.
Yeah.
So
you need industrial strength.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Commercial grade. And,
yeah.
so that those kind of interior finishes, while still very aesthetically pleasing, are also extremely durable.
How about rec room, like a weight room and stuff like that?
Another huge improvement. So you can go to probably some fire stations in some of our larger cities in the United States, and you will see, especially New York, Chicago, Boston, Detroit, and you'll see fire stations built sometimes in the 1800s,
sure,
even still in use. But for firefighter fitness, their equipment is in the apparatus bay with the trucks and the diesel exhaust. That's extremely unhealthy.
They're lifting weights with right with the equipment.
Right. And so that's where we are or were with some of our stations here in Tucson. So these new stations have brought the workout facilities to the interior, climate controlled, well ventilated, not working out around diesel particulates and things like that. So it's for the longevity of our members.
Probably a recruiting tool also to have nice facilities.
Oh, it absolutely helps. It's nice to come to work at a nice place.
Yeah. How are we doing recruiting? You could have as many as how many officers?
We're authorized right now for 645 sworn firefighters.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking right now. We have about 50-ish vacancies. That sounds like a lot, and it is. But we're graduating a recruit class next Friday, the 16th, at 9 a.m. at the TCC. It's a public event, so if anybody wants to come, please do. We're going to celebrate the graduation of 41 new firefighters and EMTs into the Tucson Fire Department.
And what was their training like? What period of time were these men and women involved in training?
So our recruit academy, it's what we call a green academy. We take people from 0 to 100, so to speak. They don't need to have any prior training whatsoever. We teach them how to be firefighters. We get them through the National Registry EMT class. It's a 22-week, very intensive paramilitary-style program. And they come out on the other end highly educated, highly trained, and probably in the best physical shape of their life.
Is it like a boot camp?
Along those lines.
Uh-huh.
Not quite as austere, but very similar, similar. Yeah.
But physically, you've got to be up to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there are requirements for that.
There are. And I tell folks, I can't, Bill, I can't change how much water weighs. You know, fresh water weighs 8.33 pounds per gallon. Mm. I can't change what the ladder manufacturers make the weight of the aluminum ladders.
Mm-hmm.
All of that stuff goes into it. So we have to train and make sure our folks, our men and women, are physically fit to handle all of those dynamics that are set, by others. I don't get to pick that stuff.
When you think about our police department, which really has been struggling to recruit officers, is it perhaps a little easier with the fire service? Maybe easier isn't the right word. It is a different culture.
It is. I can tell you, when I got here, I did a I asked our HR staff to do a five-year look back just at total numbers of applicants,
sure.
right? And 7 or 8 years ago now, so because I've been here a little over 3 years, Tucson Fire was getting about 1,200 to 1,500 applicants every time we opened a recruitment.
How many was that again?
1,200 to 1,500.
Okay.
Now the number is about half of that, frankly, and maybe less. But it's not just us. I am hearing the same message from fire chiefs in major cities across the country. Total numbers of recruitments are down. Now, that being said, we're still selecting a class of 45 people out of an applicant pool of 400 to 500. So it's not the worst, but there are factors that go into it, and I can elaborate on some of those if you'd like.
Yeah, and before you do that, I just wanted to say we'll have Chief Kazmar next Friday.
Awesome.
So we got first the fire chief this week, then we'll get the chief in here, the police chief next Friday, and he has said on the show in the past about the way it used to be with the number of applicants, kind of like you were saying about, you know, over 1,000 for a position.
Right.
His numbers, I believe, would be a lot less than even what your erosion has been, about half of what it used to be.
Yes.
It's worse with the police department.
It is. They have a much more difficult challenge.
Yes. Okay, so now go ahead with some of those other reasons.
So I think what's changed, well, I know what's changed with the fire service. There's been, especially in the past decade, a lot of focus placed on occupational illness and disease. The leading killer of firefighters in the 1950s was fire. That has changed. A decade or so ago, it was heart attack and stroke.
Mm-hmm.
In the past decade now, the number one killer of firefighters is cancer.
Occupational
cancer.
Really? I had never heard that.
And it's become, and you know, we have an amazing partnership with Dr. Jeffrey Burgess at the University of Arizona, who just got a huge grant with Arizona Board of Regents to do some more work with firefighter cancer studies. Mm. And Tucson Fire has been on the forefront of this firefighter cancer cohort that other major departments around the United States are on board with now. But that's become very widely publicized, and it's a great thing, and it's forced the apparatus manufacturers, the gear manufacturers, to make changes to their processes to provide healthier stuff for us. Mm-hmm. However, the flip side of that is you're broadcasting to the world that, you know, somebody coming into this profession as a brand new firefighter has a statistically significantly higher chance of acquiring a cancer over the course of their career than if they'd done something else less hazardous.
Yeah, and so we know it's a hazardous profession, but this is just kind of one more layer. And is it the chemicals that are in the smoke? And so you want state-of-the-art apparatus equipment when a firefighter goes to the scene?
Yes.
Okay, so this equipment is getting better. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes. The gear we wear, the turnout gear, the coat, the pants, the boots, all of that has additional layers of protection in it now that prevent some of those small, fine particulates of known carcinogens that are in things like this desk, the carpet on the floor. Whereas if you think back to to when we were kids, right?
Sure.
The furniture in our houses was composed of wool, cotton and wood.
That's it.
And that hasn't been the case in the past 30 years in the United States. It's all artificial substances.
Artificial
plastics.
Is plastics and these conglomerates that go into the furniture.
Exactly.
This would be a good time also to mention in the news about foam, firefighting foam. There are two classes of foam that firefighters use. One of them is like a detergent, not really a hazard.
Correct.
The second is the focus.
Yes.
For difficult issues.
Yes.
Where are we on that?
So what you're talking about, the difficult one is what we call Class B foam, and that's a foam that is used on combustible or flammable liquids fires.
Yes.
So think of a gasoline tanker overturned on fire. What's burning isn't actually the gasoline, it's the vapors that are coming off of it. But this foam, this Class B foam, is chemically developed in such a way that it bonds together and puts a blanket on the top of the liquid that prevents the vapors from rising, and that's what puts the fire out. It doesn't necessarily cool it, or it doesn't work the same way as water does on wood or paper. So in the process of developing those foams years ago, They used a substance called PFAS, polyfluoroalkyl substances. Mm-hmm. I think I've got that right. The challenge with PFAS, and it's in a lot of things, not just in firefighting foams, is that it's a persistent chemical. It never goes away.
Oh.
And so there's obviously the challenge in our groundwater here in the Tucson area.
And that's what we've heard so much about the seepage in the groundwater.
Exactly.
And these plumes are moving. The stuff just doesn't go away.
Right.
So the manufacturers have changed the foam composition.
Yes, they are definitely. Yes, there are some manufacturers that are moving away. It. Yes.
And your department has tried to move in that direction of environmentally friendly foams.
100%. We are, as of about 2 months ago now, completely free of any of the PFAS-containing Class B foam. We have a environmentally green product that works almost as well. It's not 100% the same, but it works sufficiently well to replace the old stuff that was causing environmental harm. And so we've made a complete switch over.
All right, we're going to pause right here. We have Chief Ryan with us, Chuck Ryan, 3 years now on the job as the Tucson Fire Chief. And our live line number is 790-2040. If anyone has any questions or comments for the chief, he'd be delighted to take those calls. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Chief, we share a birthday. My birthday is a week from today. Yours is a day before that, next mm-hmm. Thursday.
Yep.
And Christmas is right around the corner, as we know, being Christmas babies. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, would be a great way to get the holiday season kicked off. I think I'll be picking up a Kringle next Friday. Tom's, I hear your ears are going, oh, a Kringle's coming. I think I'm going to pick up a Kringle on my birthday morning next Friday and bring it into the station, because whenever I bring them into the station, Chief, people inhale it. It's gone just like that. So Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish Kringle. Getting ready for Christmas. They'll take your orders for your desserts, your pies. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com, will tempt you even more because they've redone the website. It looks so good with all the menu items. And by the way, they do a great lunch there as well. Ann and I had a wonderful lunch up at Mona's last Sunday. So open for breakfast at 6:30, and on Sunday they open at 7 in the morning, and they're taking now Monday off, well-deserved day off. More with Chief Ryan right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back, Buckmaster, on a Friday, our Friday Focus interview this week. We welcome back to the show the fire chief of the city of Tucson, Chuck Ryan, is with us. Chief Ryan, my wife and I made the mistake of picking out a live Christmas tree too early this year. Mm. You know, Thanksgiving, thought we'd get into it, bought a small tree. A few days ago, it was starting to kind of smell and put your hand on it. It just felt kind of brittle. Yeah. I cannot believe how fast trees dry out in this environment. I mean, I should believe it after living in the desert for almost 35 years. They do.
Yeah. It's not a good environment for cut trees.
And it can be a huge hazard.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know, the nostalgia of a real Christmas tree is awesome. But it's a big risk, and sadly, you know, we get busy, people forget to water the trees, sometimes the lights have shorts in them that they put on there, all kinds of risks with real trees.
Should you do a kind of a risk assessment, one of the first things you do?
Yeah, if you really want a live or a cut tree in your home, that's fine, but just, you know, really check when you're buying it that the needles are still hanging on the tree, that it's, you know, you get it outside, it's drawing water into it still. And the place you put it in your home, just same thing as anything else, really. Like, clear an area around it, make sure it's not near a heating source mm-hmm. of any kind. You mm-hmm. know, even if you have gas forced air heat, right?
Even if it's a vent right over it,
because that'll dry it out right away.
You don't want that. Right. No. Yep. And holiday lights, you mentioned shorts.
Yep.
That's a good thing to also check for.
Yeah, shorts and getting away from, to the extent people still even have them, the incandescent, the old glass bulbs, you know, going at least with the cooler LEDs, mm-hmm. always a better choice.
How's your wildland team doing? You mentioned that when you were with us a few months ago, getting ready for the fire season, and it seems like the wildfire season starts earlier every year.
Yeah.
What's your team looking like?
So we are growing the team. We have about 15 or 16 members of the department, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a big commitment on their part, because they're not just wildland firefighters. They are also, you know, Tucson firefighters and EMTs and paramedics riding out on the trucks every single day. So during wildfire season, they are ready to respond either to anything locally. We're also part of Arizona Department of Fire Management, Forestry and Fire Management, with respect to being what we call a state cooperator. So if there's a fire in another part of the state needs resources, we have a truck and trained crews we can send to assist. And we export those folks out of state as well. California, Colorado, Utah, they've been all over. Yeah.
Is there a special vehicle that's different from urban firefighting for the wildlands?
There is. We have what's called a Type 3 engine, which basically it's a four-wheel drive fire truck, slightly mm-hmm. smaller water tank than our structural pumpers. It has pump and roll capability. It's designed to be an off-road vehicle. So they take that with them when they travel.
Proposition 411 really was a game changer for law enforcement and the fire service.
Yes.
Where are we with that right now? Give our listeners kind of an overview.
Sure. So Prop 101, by its own terms, sunsetted on June 30th of this year. The voters of Tucson in the last election voted to instead go with Prop 411, which it continues the half-cent sales tax for 10 years, but the money goes almost exclusively to roads, complete streets, bicycle, pedestrian safety initiatives, things like that. However, as part of the truth and taxation documentation that comes with that package, the city manager sets aside no less than $18 million each year for the next 5 years to help continue the good work that Prop 101 did for our public safety departments and keep the momentum going, if you will. So we call those investment plan dollars, and they're being used for critical pieces of equipment, training, things that are truly mission critical.
We started our conversation talking about fire stations, and I'm just curious, how many stations do we have? The city of Tucson is incredibly spread out. It's probably one of the largest per capita. And when you look at the footprint, it's huge.
Yeah.
How are we situated with fire stations?
So we have a total of 22 stations, mm-hmm. One of which sits specifically on the Raytheon Air Force plant and services by what we call a fire service agreement with Raytheon Corporation, services Raytheon solely. So we have 21 other stations responding across the 260 so square miles of the city. We're in a good spot. We could be, we need, as the city grows, we're going to need a couple of infill stations, one on the northwest side of the city, and then as the eastern expansion of the city goes and build out takes place in those areas, the Ward 4 area, we're going to ultimately need another station on the east side of the city.
We need to talk about the whole 911 system. There have been major changes in the city of Tucson. Have those changes helped?
I think they have. So in years before I came to Tucson, police had its own dispatch center. Fire had their own dispatch center. Prior to my arrival, or shortly prior to my arrival, a consolidation was done, which is very similar to the model that in the place I came from in Northern Virginia, where it's a combined 911 public safety communications center that dispatches and takes calls for both fire and police. So it's an efficiency, but it also, I think, makes it streamlines the process for the end user, for the customer, right? They call 911 and it's not, oh, hang on, I need to transfer you over to the fire department. It goes to one person, they get an answer, and the call gets routed appropriately.
What is the response time? And I know your business, this is a very important area. Does it vary by areas of the city?
It varies for a whole host of reasons. Mm-hmm. But yes, it does vary by areas of the city simply because of station locations, mm-hmm. or where a unit is, because it may not be in the fire station when a call comes in. They could be out in radio service somewhere on the road. Mm-hmm. And so where the call is and where the closest unit is that gets dispatched will dictate those response mm-hmm. times. What I can tell you is this. Overall, we strive to have a paramedic at a patient's side within 5 minutes of the unit being dispatched.
That's pretty good.
We strive for that.
Yeah.
Candidly, every major city in the United States struggles mm-hmm. with this, mm-hmm. but we're not doing the best, but we're doing pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. There are some days we do great. Some days we're there well under that national response time. Other days, just depending upon call time of day of the week, call volume, we might be a little bit over that. For fires, we try to get there within 6 minutes. Same exact, and it's the exact same variables that come into play. So are we meeting the national standard every single call? No, I'd be lying to you if I told you that. But there's not a fire chief in the United States that could sit here and tell you that they're doing that either. So we're doing pretty darn good, it's a continuous improvement process.
That national standard, I'm just curious, does that change yearly?
No,
it's pretty much been static.
It's been static for probably close to the past decade. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But there are so many variables, aren't there?
There are. Okay. There really are.
Chief, we've got a caller who would like to speak with you. Matt calling us on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Hey, Matt, you're with Chief Ryan.
Hey, Chief. Tucson's historically the pioneer of fire probably was one of the biggest things that happened to Tucson. It also made some major changes to other departments on how structures are handled like that. Tucson now has many more buildings that are large-scale facilities. Do you guys look at the Pioneer Fire as a model, or is there something new about Tucson with regards to high structure buildings that you guys would respond to if there was a catastrophic?
Good question, Matt. Actually, that was one of my questions for the chief. Matt's referring to the 1969 Pioneer Fire, of course, downtown. What about high-rise fires? We haven't really talked about that with you in the past.
No.
That's a whole special area of firefighting.
It really
is.
And
how are we doing, as Matt wants to know.
So that, Matt, that's a great question, and this is where I need to give a particular shout-out to my prevention division staff, our fire code inspectors, our plans reviewers, who really, really are the backbone of both the citizens, the public safety, and firefighter safety in tall structures. So The Tucson Fire Code, we're following the International Fire Code, the IFC, and there are very, very stringent requirements for contractors, for developers of tall structures with respect to sprinklers, adequate exit ways, stairwells, redundant power systems, a fire control room in the lobby. There's so many things that go into it. The Pioneer Fire really was a watershed event, not only for here in Tucson, but that's still a fire that's talked about nationally with respect to hotel fires. And there's a bunch from around the country over the years, especially back from like the 50s through the very early 70s, that kind of changed the dynamic of how fire departments approach heavily occupied tall structures. And so they're very, very labor intensive. You have to deal with the human behavior factor, right? Because we tell people when the fire alarm goes off in your building, if you're in a tall structure, mm-hmm. you're supposed to leave. Mm-hmm. Well, not everybody leaves, right?
No.
That sort of got renewed interest sadly after 9/11. Mm-hmm. But we're kind of back. We're creatures of habit, and people are back to their old habits of the fire alarm goes off. They think it's a nuisance alarm when it actually could be a real fire.
Right.
So. The tactics and techniques that modern fire departments use to combat high-rise fires when they occur, which is infrequently, thankfully, are somewhat different than your residential structure fire, and they're very labor-intensive, very person-power-intensive, and very equipment-intensive. But we use the building systems that are designed and enforced by our code folks to make sure that we can be as efficient as possible. So great question.
Yeah, I'm glad Matt brought that up because it's such an important area. All right, Chief, we are a little bit over time,
but
we're going to have to say goodbye. I want to wish you and your family a very, very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays, Happy Birthday to you next Thursday, and we'll look forward to your next visit with us.
Bill, thank you so much for having me on. Happy Holidays to you, and Happy Birthday as well.
Thank you very much. Take a break right here. Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News. Lots to talk about with Dan. We'll be with him in a few moments.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Friday edition in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Without further ado, we go on the live line to Green Valley and Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, your reaction, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time of our less than 10 minutes talking about it, but it is a huge story. Senator Sinema, Democrat from Arizona, no longer Democrat from Arizona, now independent from Arizona. Well, she won't have to worry about, I guess, a Democratic primary, will she, in 2 years?
No, and I think that's pretty much what drove a lot of this, is that she probably figured she couldn't get out of one.
Yep.
And I can tell you the response down here, at least I've been hearing a lot over the last 2 or 3 hours, has been very negative toward her, as it has been through a lot of her tenure in the Senate. And so I don't think they're sorry to see her go. I don't think that they felt they could trust her anyway, even though she says she will continue to caucus with the Democrats, or at least won't with the Republicans. So 2 years from now, it'll be real interesting to see what happens with her.
Yeah, I heard there was a golf cart accident, golf cart and vehicle accident. Is that fairly, I don't want to say common, but is it rare in Green Valley?
It's not unusual. This one was a little weird in that the guy just was tooling down the street and hit a parked van, ended up on his side. And we've actually had somebody a couple of years ago die in a similar situation. Actually, he was broadsided by somebody. But yeah, they're on the streets a lot, and sometimes they're in the lanes, and sometimes they're off in the bike lanes. And it's something that you just learn to watch for. But clearly, he was just being inattentive, and down he goes, and he'll be fine. I think a bruised ego is the worst
oh,
he had.
So. I remember an incident where this guy got in an altercation at a Republican event down in your area in
yes.
June. Did that ever, was justice ever meted out in that case?
Well, he was charged with trespassing, and assault. The assault charge was dropped, even though he was the one tossed out of the event. This was in June. This is the one that involved Blake Masters, and because he had actually grabbed the guy around the neck and pushed him back and whatever. But he was he's a Democrat who showed up at a Green Valley GOP event, which had kind of a candidate meet and greet, and he was pretty much instigating. Quite honestly, he had a Black Lives Matter T-shirt and dark glasses, and he had his GoPro going and fully vaxxed buttons. So he was kind of inviting problems, but he was very calm. But he got tossed out of the event, but somehow he was the one charged. So the trespassing charge just went to the Green Valley Justice Court this week. It was a bench trial. It was really him against another witness. They dismissed all the other witnesses from the GOP event, and that was held. We have that story online, but a decision will not be rendered until December 19th. So we'll see. And again, this is very low-level stuff, but he made it a big issue because he wanted to keep it a big issue, and it has been, and mostly because it involved Blake Masters, which of course right now is the interest has been greatly diminished. Let's say that.
Your White Elephant thrift shop is beloved in your area. I understand they just had a big giveaway.
Yeah, every year they write over 100 checks to local and Southern Arizona organizations. And the thing to watch the past few years has been how much have they given away. This year was just under $1.5 million. And the good news on that is that last year it was about $950,000. The year before was about $600,000. And because the thrift shop, which is where all the money comes from, had been closed for 6 months because of COVID. Before that, and is typical, is right around $1.6, $1.7 million. So we're getting back to normal. This is the first in-person check giveaway we've had in a couple of years. And a lot of organizations really rely on this money from the White Elephant. So if you've ever gone to our thrift shop, you are funding nonprofit organizations and schools and sometimes even medical research scholarships for the next year, and it's really appreciative. So it's a nearly 100% volunteer run organization. 500 volunteers out of Green Valley are associated with the White Elephant.
Well, I think it would be worthwhile for our Tucson listeners to know the location, because they may want to go down there and make a special trip. Where is it located?
Yeah, you would head down I-19, get off at Duval Mine Road, hang a left on La Cañada, and you'll run into it. So it's right next to the Pima County Government Complex. Can't miss it.
Sheriff Nano says the situation at the Pima County Jail has really reached a very bad place, and I see that the county supervisors are thinking about upping the pay for the jailers. The sheriff has actually talked about maybe there need to be like a half-cent sales increase, sales tax increase to fund a new facility. I wonder how that might go over with the residents of Pima County.
Well, that's a really good question. We do know that they funded the Pima Animal Care Center a few years ago to the tune of over $20 million, as I recall, and that really passed with easily. But then right around that same time, the voters turned down $800 million in bond projects on seven questions. Every single one of them went down in flames. I think Mr. Huckleberry asked for the Animal Center to be considered separately because, one, there was an immediate need to get it through, and two, I think he may have sensed that it tossed in with the other projects might have not gone well. But you know, a new tax is really a rough thing for people. It's going to be really rough as if people start getting pinched at the grocery store and the gas station. But he has said on your show with us. In fact, I remember maybe the last time we interviewed him, he had just come from the jail where there was falling concrete.
Yes, I remember that.
It is old.
Yeah.
Yes, he said, yeah, of all the things I have to do, you know, this is one of them. They had just roped off the area and everything. So there's no doubt that it's old, a tough place to work. It's old. The need is there, whether it is repairs or just, you know, tear it down and do all new thing. If they do have this campaign, I'm sure we're going to be hearing all about that.
How are we doing health-wise in your community? This RSV not only hits children, but older people as well.
It's hitting us just as hard as it's hitting everybody else. We're actually making rounds of calls this morning and this afternoon to Tucson hospitals and just kind of getting the latest numbers. What we've heard from a couple of people who are associated with the newspaper is that there is a 30 to 48-hour wait just to get a room in the hospital. Now that means that you're in the waiting room and that you're either waiting out there or they'll take you back to the ER. And yeah, I know someone personally who just got into a room this morning. It had been 48 hours he was in the ER. And so you can see that it's a serious situation, but they described it as organized chaos back there, meaning lots of people needing lots of help, but that the medical staff was holding up and doing really well. This is tough business going on, and it's not just COVID. It's really a kind of a mix of several things.
Yeah, COVID, the flu, and for years we had, during the pandemic, very little flu cases, but it really is rearing its ugly head. Okay, Dan Scheer, my very best to you and your family, to your entire team at the newspapers. We thank you for everything you've done for this program, and we'll begin lucky year 13 with the Buckmaster Show in January. All the best to you, Dan.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Coming up next, we've got Weekend Watch with Mr. Matt Russell. That'll be coming up right after this break.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Time for Weekend Watch, southwestnewmexico.org, the website for a great planning trip. Visit the website, then get in the car or truck and drive 3 hours approximately east of Tucson to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. A lot of people have time off over the holidays looking for something different, a little bit of a different getaway. Check out a beautiful area of the southwestern portion of the Land of Enchantment, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Our longtime sponsor of Weekend Watch and our longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist and dedicated foodie. In fact, he's a very well-read food and beverage columnist here in town, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, it is time for you to get out the Santa suit. It's the same suit that's been going to the, you know, you wear it, then you send it to the cleaners, comes back, you put it away. It's time to get it ready for the Russell Public Communications Christmas party.
Yes, and unfortunately, it doesn't come in double extra large. I have to figure out a way to squeeze into the XL, but let's suffice it to say that Santa is stirring it up, baby. It's Friday.
Stir it up, Mr. Santa. All right, wine, a glass of wine, and live jazz go together so beautifully.
I have you covered, Bill. You know, you may have heard about that new wine shop on Sunrise and Kolb, Simon Hazel Cellars, and their tasting events have been all the buzz around that corner of the foothills. Well, they're hosting another one of their free wine and jazz happy hours tonight from 6 to 8 p.m., and the theme is Italian wine. So they're going to be pulling out their best Italian bottles from their cellar, offering a taste of, you know, iconic Italian producers as well as some smaller boutique wines. Now, you're going to also enjoy live jazz music and light Italian appetizers to pair with those wines. And again, it's all free. But while you're there, be sure to check out their customizable wine gift baskets, which are going to make great holiday gifts. So I say, wine up your weekend at Simon Hazel Cellars tonight.
Great location for the holidays. Tohono O'Chul.
Yeah, you know, it's officially the holiday season, right? When Tohono O'Chul starts to really sparkle, and tonight is the first in their series of weekend holiday nights that runs through next weekend. So tonight and tomorrow night from 5:30 to 8:30, you're going to take in this illuminated desert wonderland that they say will overflow with holiday cheer. You're going to walk down illuminated pathways, enjoy some live entertainment, twinkling lights. Artists are going to be performing, sip hot chocolate, enjoy the festive treats, Bill. It's like being on the set of your favorite Hallmark Christmas movie, I tell you. Information and tickets for holiday nights are at tohonochul.org.
I just had this vision of you in your Santa suit getting all the holiday lights ready at the Russell household, and you going up on the roof and making sure everything, all the circuits are together.
Yeah, me up on the rooftop. That's definitely going to make a clickety-clack, that's for sure.
We've got time for another one. How about wine and bottle? Or excuse me, tap and bottle.
Exactly. You know, speaking of Santa's elves are busying themselves in their workshop up in the North Pole, but there's a workshop that you can attend on Sunday afternoon at Tap and Bottle on Oracle and Ina as you plan your season's entertaining. It's a holiday-themed charcuterie workshop, and you're going to kind of figure out how to assemble the perfect charcuterie board for your get-togethers this month. So the workshop this time is going to focus on holiday cheeses, and all ingredients are going to be provided, so you can follow along and design your own charcuterie board to take home. So that's from noon to 1:30 on Sunday. Tickets are just $65 per person, so don't miss the beauty of the charcuterie on Sunday.
I can just see that board laid out with all those beautiful cheeses. Sounds very, right? Very tempting. Hey, Matt, have a great weekend. Stay safe. Thanks, buddy.
Yes. You do the same. Thanks, Bill.
All right. The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of our daily program. Original theme music composed by our German friend, Christophan. Thank you, sir. Thanks to my assistant, Rosemary Brandt, everyone here at KVOI, including my engineer and producer, Tom Fairbanks, and the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. All of us share the same wish for you this weekend, and that is, be well, everybody. Stay safe. Have a lovely weekend.